Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is Mega Rand, and this is Matt Mania. Of course, by my side is tag team partner in the Brothers of Destruction of podcasting, Teak Hall. What up?
What up? What up, Mega Rand? What up, y'all out there? Teak Hall.
Yo, so this week's been, I was just saying, like, it was kind of uneventful in, like, the big leagues as far as WWE stuff, but there's a lot of non-WWE news that we get to cover.
Right, first, that's exciting.
Got to give a big, big shout out to Cody Rhodes, who is the new ROH World Champion, beat Christopher Daniels, and well-deserved, man. It's like about time. You can see like the tweets pouring in from everybody all over the world, all the wrestlers, proud of that dude.
Yeah, congratulating him. Definitely, that was a dope moment.
Man. You like we talked about it, like him leaving WWE, and like if that was a situation that would come back to bite him, because that's the only game in town people consider. But there are other games in town with New Japan and ROH, and he's on top of the mountain. So
yeah, I was just saying that's like, you know, he just really like believed in himself. He bet on himself in the end, because you know he could have just stuck around and got a check from WWE and continued to be Stardust.
Yeah,
which was going nowhere. He was kind of
going nowhere.
He was with the Ascension at that point, and we see that they're still not anywhere. So.
Yeah,
he wanted to not do that anymore, and they didn't believe that he was worth any more than being Stardust.
So,
and it could have turned out bad for him.
It really could have, but you know, it's he did his thing. He worked hard on the indies, and it's well deserved, man. I hope he holds it for a while. I gotta be honest. We went to that ROH show. I'm not a fan of Christopher Daniels.
No, I didn't really like that dude. And at I all. Heard people say that his run as the champ was uneventful. Yeah. And like short.
Yeah. So wait, he didn't win it at the one we went to during Mania. He won it like maybe a little bit before that, I think. And he's had it for about three.
Yeah, because he was
months.
The champ when we went, right?
Yeah, and I think he had just won it before that for a little bit. Yeah, man, it's been kind of uneventful. So I'm glad they decided to go with Cody. I think he's gonna be a great champ.
Did you watch the match?
I did. The match was good. It was a little short. Wasn't
he
like
got
one
his
of them
lip
classic
split
match.
Open early.
But he did. He did get like split open.
And that was early in the match. So, I mean, he had to wrestle the whole rest of the match with his lip like that. I don't know if they cut it short because of that.
That's a good point. They might have done that.
Because they kept talking about how his lip was bleeding. He kept having to wipe his...
I remember him wiping his lip, like licking the blood at one point. Like, you know, trying to give it a little bit of an angle to it. But that was... It was a short match. I wanted to see more. So, hopefully his next match, maybe the rematch, will be bigger. And better, but congratulations, Cody.
Is he scheduled to wrestle at G1?
Yeah, he's on the list. They have a couple of events happening. I think he's at least going for like the conference or something like that. But I think he is wrestling at G1. So shout out to Cody and you know the whole Bullet Club. They will all be in the States. If you are around and able to go to it, highly recommend the G1 in Long Beach. It's like. Basically, some of the best wrestlers in the world going at it. So,
Kenny Omega and
who's he wrestling? I don't know who he's wrestling, but
no,
I know Kota Ibushi is going to be there.
He's wrestling who we just wrestled.
Okada again?
Yeah, it's number three.
Wow. So now they got to top their last one. So we'll see what happens. It should be good. So I just want to say salute, give a little round of applause for Cody, the American Nightmare. I'm sure. What do you think Goldust thought when he saw that?
Man, I saw the tweet that he sent out
for
him about to win it. I mean, I'm sure he thought it was great.
I'm sure he did.
I don't think they don't have no bad blood with each other.
But do you think he's thinking like, man, I should have bounced, you know, a long time ago? Or like, you know what I mean? Like he's stuck in mess with R-Truth that is, you know, going away.
Yeah, right now, but I think Goldust is like, I mean, he's cemented, so I don't think it really matter. Like,
yeah.
When you think about Goldust, what do you think about? When I think about Goldust, I don't even think about Golden Truth.
Nah, I don't.
When Goldust comes to mind.
I think that match with him and Roddy Piper, that was weird.
I think of him with the wig and wearing the robe.
The Shattered Dream where he would just kick you in the nuts.
Right.
So, he's already cemented. But if he was Dustin Rhodes.
But a lot of these legends get in shaky bullshit storylines when they get older.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you can't be on top forever. I understand that. So, Anyway, so Cody is on top.
He's still there, and he's had a run, so he's just happy that, I mean, Cody's got to cement his now, which
he's
doing. Yeah,
absolutely. So I was thinking this on the way over here. If Cody, let's just say he just, like, kills it, becomes, like, one of the top best ROH champions of all time, and never comes back to WWE, does maybe another 6-7 years as the man everywhere else, and then retires, would he ever be a Hall of Famer in the WWE Hall of Fame?
Nah.
No? If he doesn't come back, you think there's no way?
It would cheapen it if he didn't, I feel like, because what would the WWE be making him a Hall of Famer for? Has he had a Hall of Fame run in WWE?
Well, the Rock and Roll Express just made it, and they never was in WWE. That was NWA, you know what I mean? So,
but didn't that get bought or something? Was it ever like
bought
consumed?
By WCW, and then WCW got bought by
WWE. That's what I'm saying. So if WWE eventually buys ROH, or maybe if the ROH on the network thing happens, then maybe that could be.
So if it doesn't, he's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I don't
Let's
think he had a Hall of Fame
7 years
run.
with the ROH title, he's still not a WWE Hall of Famer.
Nah, he had to come back to WWE one last time.
Yeah, I think you're right, and that's usually the path for a lot of those guys, either ROH or back then it was TNA, where they would go and do that, get to the mountaintop, and then eventually move up like AJ and all those other dudes did.
Right.
So I don't know. That's interesting to think about. I just think about it on the way over here. Like, would they make him a Hall of Famer just based on his outside of, like, in WWE, he was a tag team champ. He was an intercontinental champ. But nothing really amazing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's basically doing the run now that he was doing when he wore the mask. And wasn't that when he was Dustin was? What did he go by when he was wearing the mask in WWE?
Wait, he was wearing a mask?
Yeah.
Stardust?
No. When he broke his nose, so he was wearing a mask. This was his gimmick before he was Stardust.
He was just Cody Rhodes?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was something like Gorgeous or something, like he had something in front of his name, but he had a mask to protect his face because his nose had got broken. And then his gimmick was like what he is now, like just like an asshole, like, you know, real.
Like real cocky.
Right, but with the mask. And I'm like, that's what he's doing.
That's what he's doing now. And it's
working.
Which
is probably just his gimmick, like, that he wants to do.
I think that's just, like, that might even just be his real persona. Like, he's just a dude. You remember when we saw him, how he looked funny when we were, we was all in the room while he was trying to train his wife. And, like, he was looking around.
Yeah, that was a weird moment.
Was like, why are these marks still here?
But Chris was taking a bunch of pictures of him.
And our friend Chris was taking photos. I don't care. I'm going to take pictures. And, like, that was awkward. All right. But anyway, speaking of awkward, we had a Raw this week that actually was pretty good. Roman Reigns starts it off, comes out talking his stuff.
Yeah.
I like what Roman's doing. Yo, I think Roman's turning heel. This is happening. I think the way they're doing it, just making him just be an extra cocky dude.
Yeah.
So he says stuff that people who hate him already will hate him more. And then people who like him will be like, yeah, tell him, Roman. You know what I mean? So it's a slick, slow heel turn, I think, is happening. So he gets up there, he talks his stuff. He's like, oh, well, if you let me finish, this, you might actually like this news, you know?
Right.
Talks about how he got beat up. And then, of course, Braun comes, you know, sneak attacks him, slams him up against the ambulance. I think that match would be a good match. Braun is like the number one face now on Raw, thanks to Roman. Basically.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, he's just wild and just beating everybody up. It doesn't matter who, and we're cheering it on.
We cheer it, you know.
We feel like he's beating up the people who we don't like. So
I think that's what it is. And that's, I think if they're just gonna book him like that, then I'm not mad at that. And Roman, I feel like this is a new territory type of heel turn, where, like, we haven't seen this before, where he's not going to go all out and be heel. He's just already a person that they don't like, but they're just going to keep feeding them more so people can stop liking him.
I got
or
something,
continue to not like
got him. Got something to say about Roman and his new attire.
Okay, the new shirt?
Yeah, I hate the shirt. I see he's not wearing the vest anymore, but the shirt is...
It's weak?
Yeah, the shirt is weak. The Superman punch, but, like, the silhouette of it, that looks like the Jumpman symbol.
Yeah. I didn't think Jumpman, that's funny, but I was like, it should have his Roman Reigns symbol on it somewhere. And I was
and
like,
then on the back it says, it's my yard.
Yeah, I don't like that. He literally just stole somebody's catchphrase and now it's on a shirt. So,
and because they made a shirt, now he has to wear the shirt.
He's got to wear it.
He should have just stick with the vest.
I noticed it more than ever, probably because after getting cool with Eric, shout out to Eric of Nerds Clothing, who does a lot of the shirts for the WWE guys. I notice it a lot more when they wear shirts now, and they wear different ones when a different one comes out.
Yeah,
and
it's the whole show is why they do it.
The whole show is a big commercial now. It's like, yo, check my new shirt out. Shout out to Enzo, who actually wore the Nerds Clothing shirt on the final Enzo and Cass segment together, probably.
Man, I tweeted about that segment that they got me with that segment.
You thought it
did
was
they
happening?
Get you?
They got me too.
Man, I was like,
they kind of
that
did.
Was some
like,
that
yo.
Was some good writing. That was some good storytelling. I'm like,
they swerved me.
I knew it was coming. Like in my mind, I was like, oh, this they're not getting back together. But they did it so good that I was like, damn,
they did. Yeah, I was like, yo, they just did all that just for him to be like, oh, we back. And then on the top at the top of the ring, they or the you know the entrance, they, he just you know did him in.
Yeah.
I thought maybe he should have done something a little more like final to him, like throw him off the stage.
I was waiting for him to do his finisher the whole time that they were in the ring, and then when they got out the ring, I was like, oh, maybe they're
maybe
gonna be
it's
together.
Gonna happen. Yeah.
I was like, I was waiting for it. I was like, where's the side slam? You know, I'm waiting
and then
for
the him. Big Empire elbow.
Yeah.
So
they're doing
they
his heel turn real good.
It's funny we talk about how like the writing is predictable and stuff, but that I did not expect. Like I was like, oh. Word. Oh, okay. They're gonna bring them back together. Oh no, they're not.
And it's like as long as I was saying that the breakup was coming, the story how they're doing the breakup is good though. It's
yeah.
not. I'm not watching it like I knew this was gonna happen, and I'm intrigued in what's going
right,
on because
right.
they're doing it well.
They are. I'm looking forward to Cass. You know, heel.
But what's
solo.
Are we gonna get a Kaz and Enzo fight though?
Once again, I don't want them to fight in the ring. That don't need to happen.
I think Kaz just needs to injure him like backstage or something, and then Enzo
so.
Take a week off.
He'll take maybe a month off, come back, and then do something else. But yeah, man, I felt it during that promo. Man, Enzo's great on the mic. Like he needs to be on the mic. So even when he was explaining, like, yo. When you were looking at me in that hospital room when I, you know, when I was knocked out, like, I know that was love. Like, brothers, this is real. This is real. And I was like, oh, wait, it is real. Like, I started thinking that. So they kind of got me. All right. So later on, we got to talk about the moment that everybody's talking about on Raw.
Right.
The Ball family coming out for Miz TV. LeVar Ball acting the plum fool on national TV. Like, you expected him to do anything else. Taking his shirt off, doing some kung fu, talking over people. I felt like the segment got off the rails. Like, it definitely felt like that.
It was wild because when I heard that he was going to be there, I didn't think that they were doing anything like this. I thought it was just going to be in the crowd, like how they shine the
That's
camera on them. Like, oh,
like,
we got
the bar ball, the mellow ball.
Yeah, with their name at the bottom. I thought it was just going to be that and they were going to be there.
Nah,
but no,
nah,
they did a whole segment. This guy had taken off his shirt. Bouncing off the ropes. He was running in between the mannequins. The Miz was like, yeah, you just do what you're doing over there. And I'm like,
right,
wow,
was so
what's
out of
going
control.
On?
Even when they sent Dean Ambrose out to try to, you know, get the thing back in order, but it was lost by then. Like, nobody knew what was going on. The crowd didn't care. These crowd, even if you're in the Staples Center, they don't care about basketball. This is a WWE crowd. And they like, they don't like this dude. So, so they say LeVar Ball went into business for himself, but like that's what he's been doing as long as people put a camera in front of this dude. Like,
right.
So I don't know why anybody's surprised.
But they said the same thing about the other guy who they brought on Raw to do commentary, the guy from Transformers.
Oh yeah, what was that all about?
Because he's doing his next movie is a WWE film or whatever with Sheamus or something they were
okay.
saying. But the whole commentary, they were talking about him and, like, the movie and what he's got going on. And, like, I saw Bubba Ray Dudley tweeted about, I'm sure the fans care more about what's happening in the match than they care about this guy. And people are just wondering, like, why they do something like that. They didn't focus on the match at all, the commentary on the match.
They didn't. It's the L.A. thing. When they go to L.A., I think they get a little starstruck and Hollywood struck when they're like, especially if they find out a Hollywood person is interested in WWE, they probably like, oh, we'll bring them
we
in.
We can get you in.
And then the Transformers movie's out right now. So Transformers probably paid them, you know, like, yo, come up and talk about it. You know what I'm saying? So it was, it worked out to promote, but it was annoying. It definitely was. And it's like they doing stuff that the fans don't care about at all. Like the fans didn't care about LeVar Ball. The fans didn't care about this Transformers dude. So I don't know. Yeah, there could have been more wrestling happening during that time. And I remember people getting mad about that.
The LeVar Ball stuff, it still was funny though. If you haven't saw it, go watch
it's
it.
It's funny.
It's like funny. It's like a train wreck. So you gotta watch it. from those guys getting in the ring. They don't know how to get in the ring. They're rolling in the ring. Him and his son, like
it was funny.
I saw a clip, and I don't know if they showed this actually on Raw, but it was like Dean Ambrose kicking the mannequins over outside the ring with the Big Baller Brand shirts on.
Wow, just kicking them
right. So I was like, oh, did he do that like after that segment was over, before the match? Like he was mad.
Was that supposed to?
At how that segment just went.
Yo, that's hilarious. So, okay, that was really the most, I guess, noteworthy thing about Raw. We had a run-in. I can't forget Brock Lesnar's face turning pink.
Yeah, I was going to say we can't not mention that.
You know, he got sneak attacked by Samoa Joe. Are they doing a good job to you of hyping up this match? Like, are you ready to see this match?
Yeah, I do want to see the match. I feel like Brock's gonna win. I would like them to let Samoa Joe win, but I feel like they're not gonna have Brock keep getting beat up leading into it and then lose. So.
Nah, I think that's exactly what the hype is. Like, oh wait, this is the guy that got Brock's number, and then Suplex City, 20 suplexes, F5 over. You know, I hope they don't do Joe like that. But
Sheamus did Paul Heyman did a good
I get promo Sheamus and Paul Heyman mixed up all the time.
he did a good promo.
Oh, his
afterwards.
Promo backstage was great.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's what he described as the match that I want to see. Right. So
let's hope so.
I hope
man.
That happens. Hope
but
they
if,
have a.
It all comes down to Brock. If Brock say, "Yo, I don't want to get thrown around," then it's just gonna be some suplexes and it's over. So ultimately, it's up to Brock. I remember. Dean Ambrose talking about that. He was like, yo, when I was working with Brock, he didn't want to do nothing. Like, they had the Extreme Rules match that they didn't get Extreme on.
Right.
And he was like, well, you know, he was like, I don't want to get hit with a kendo stick. And he's like, okay, well, we're going to do it this way. Brock gets what he wants. So, anyway, that was basically Raw. Last thing to end it with, Sasha being number one contender for women's title. Do you feel like Sasha's back in the title picture too soon? Like, what do you feel about this?
I mean, I saw some feedback of people saying like the crowd didn't seem like they were excited when Sasha lifted the title up or whatever at the end of Raw. And I feel like they put her back in the title picture because they don't know what else to do with her.
Yeah.
Because they just had her doing like the 205 Live stuff where she was tag teaming with Rich Swann. And people were like, why did they have her doing that? They felt like that was like a demotion or something. Like, why are they? And it could be the light boost 205. Like, oh, look, it's got more to do with Raw, but it had less to do with her.
I think it was to let the rest of the women try to work their way up. Because Sasha's already the top on that, you know, out of their roster. So it's like, you know, let the others work up to her, I guess.
Yeah, but if you don't have anything to do with her, then just, like, don't have her on the show. Then, like,
you not have her on TV. Sasha's so popular.
But doesn't that make her less popular if she's doing
nothing?
Doing the 205 live
but
dancing with
boost
Rich Swann stuff?
Like you were saying,
when people were talking about how her dance moves were not good when she were dancing with Rich
Swann.
She's
not a good dancer.
So I don't know. I feel like it's 50-50 booking.
Yeah. I hope they don't start, you know, with the same old mess. But that's that was Raw this week. Raw was decent, I think, overall.
Because where does Bayley fall then in the situation?
Bayley took the L first. Did you see that?
No, I know, but I'm
like
so
Bayley's
is she out of the title
She's
scene
done.
Now?
Bayley's done, man. Bayley is jobber status. They
Nia
had her
Jax
come
is
out.
Over her.
Her and Nia, like any other book. Come on, Mickey James, bro. Like they're killing Bayley. That's what's happening right now. They're killing Bayley. Bayley is done. They brought her out first and then got her squashed. Like, no love for Bayley. I wish it wasn't true. We talk about this every week, but I think it's official. Bayley is squashed. Like, she's jobber status. Like, she's nowhere near the title at this point. I mean, can you agree? Like, she went out first in the gauntlet. She lost her title match. That's it.
Yeah, I just thought.
Back of the line. Gotta go fight Dana Brooke or something. Anyway, we gotta move forward. So we're gonna take a quick break. I'm gonna play some music, and then we are gonna come back. We're talking SmackDown, history being made again with the women, and then more women. We're gonna talk about GLOW, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling on Netflix. Yeah. It's Matt Mania, it's Meg Rand, it's Teague Hall. See you in a second. Yeah. Yo,
yo. I heard you raise the fly guard, you better be. Better be. Hit the brick with the pedigree. Flyer than me, Lord, you can never be. I got skin to shoot your kids, they care for an extra key. No heart chicken. CDG horse on the short head, pick your coffee and the niggas. I popped up like the Undertaker. Tombstone another brick. Watch the Christmas when the break up. Money machines running like Team Jamaica. Crept in the cell, wanna wake up, left it within poke. On the bottom bunk bed, hit another brick with the rock bottom. Hugging up what I for lunch. Tablecloth Fendi, nigga. Fuck around and hit any hugging. I'm jig, not jigging, hugging. That's Conway, I'm more like Big hugging. Listening to Big hugging. Weighing up some Big hugging. My nigga MJ10, he came home looking like Sid Vicious.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? It's Mega Ran and it's Teague Hall.
Yeah, what up, y'all?
It's Matt Mania. We back. We're talking. This is episode 42. James Worthy in this piece. And we're talking about SmackDown results. They did the do-over. The Money in the Bank ladder match, they canceled out the one that happened on the pay-per-view. And decided they would do it again,
and it had this had the final result that we thought it would result, have.
Which we talked about that last week. I was like, that's the only way they could fix this is to make her have her moment on top of the ladder, holding the briefcase.
Right, and people are saying that like now they can almost wipe the other thing that happened away because they said now they have the clip of her actually doing it.
Right, that's
so
the
when
thing,
they
like,
so when they talk about the first women's Money in the Bank, they're not going to show James Ellsworth dropping her the briefcase.
Right.
They're going to show her on top.
Right, that didn't happen.
With it.
That didn't happen. Ellsworth still tried to cheat. He got some heat. I thought they were going to do that with him during the pay-per-view. That's what they should have did. When he climbed up, somebody should have knocked it down, dropped the rope on his nuts, you know, stomped him out, something like that. Do you think, I know what I said last week, that I think they only changed this because of the feedback they got. Do you think this was their plan all along? Do it twice, get the controversy. Do you think that was the plan?
Yeah, I'll say I do because, like, this is what we were talking about when we said, like, oh, the only way they can fix it is if they have her do it again. But then we were like, oh, they only changed it because people got mad. So I'm like, if they were just doing it because of, that would be like too much flip flopping just based off what the crowd wants. Like that would have meant that they're like, oh, well, we're gonna do it again because the crowd doesn't like James Ellsworth. But then, oh, we're gonna give it to her again because she cut such a good promo right after.
Right.
Like, I feel like that would have just been like the toss of the coin too much.
Yeah.
That they might have just been like, you know what, this is just what we're gonna do.
You're right. It could have been the plan all along. But what purpose does that serve? Now remember, they're trying
the controversy.
To sell, they're trying to sell WWE Network subscriptions.
Right.
The big kick on network is you get the pay-per-views free, right?
Okay.
This pay-per-view is null and void. You know what I'm saying? Like this is the one that somebody paid $9.99 for. I think a few people canceled their subscription that night. This is what I really think, man. I listen to Tyson Fights a lot. Shout out to Mike Eagle and their crew. And Danielle, the co-host on there, she said she canceled right after. She was like, all right, I'm done. Boom. So think of how many women,
back.
You know, she's like,
they
I'll go back. You know, she was saying that too. She's like, I cancel, but then I go back. But
they
like,
wait till they get that email where it says, hey, we'll give you this month free.
You got a month free. And it's like, all right, I'll come back. So I really think, man, they saw the controversy and was like, let's do it again. Now, another rumor I heard is that they wanted to give the women more practice on the ladders
okay.
by giving them two matches. I don't buy that because I think they would have done a pre-ladder match maybe to get them ready and then done the real one. You know what I mean? But you can't do a ladder match unless something's on the top up for grabs. You know what I mean? I always realized that even when I used to play wrestling games back in the day, they're like, yo, let's play a ladder match. What are you trying to grab? You know what I'm saying? Unless somebody has a title, you know, or a briefcase. So something has to be on the ladder. So I understand that. But I don't buy it. I don't think that they were trying to get them more practice. Like, this is a once a year thing, the ladder match. You know what I'm saying? Like, no need to do it twice.
Right.
But they did it and it happened.
And Carmella's.
Carmella is the right person won. Both times.
The number one contender. She's Miss Money in the Bank.
Right person won. I don't like what they're doing constantly with Naomi and Lana. I don't think Lana deserves all these title matches. I mean, she's better than I thought she's going to be in the ring. But I don't like her fighting Naomi all the time. Like, I don't think that that's where she needs to be.
Right.
I think she needs to be fighting somebody else. Give her.
Yeah, because they just brought her right in.
How do you just come in and start
hiatus
getting
and put her matches with Naomi? And they're trying to have Naomi put her over or get her some screen time with her new gimmick.
Yeah, and it's like that's the best way to do it is put her against somebody people care about. But I don't think, like, it just doesn't make sense for logic to be like the new person just comes in and gets title shots. But that's just what it is. In the ring, we had a segment with the New Day and the Usos. You wanted to talk about this. I didn't think it was that important, but it was kind of interesting. Usos start kicking some bars, like doing some battle rap type stuff to the New Day. And the New Day comes back. It wasn't really that good. He says something like, underdogs like Rudy. And you underdraws like booty.
Like booty.
Okay, that wasn't too bad. All right, Kofi, that was all right. But I think now they're going to have a real like rap battle next week, they say. But we'll see how that goes. But what do you think right now? These are the two top tag teams in SmackDown. What do you feel like? Do you feel like these two are going to give you another good match? Do you feel like somebody, another team should maybe be up in the mix right now? Or
Nah, I don't really know what other tag team would be up there right now. What other SmackDown tag team?
Beat the Hype Bros. So Hype Bros are back.
People are saying that Zack Ryder's going to go heel.
You think so?
Because he just came back and then they lost and.
Oh, dang, it might happen.
Because they were like, why would they bring them back and in their first match are like.
No,
because it's not their first match because they wrestled at the pay-per-view.
No, their first match, it's the reason they got not a title shot, but they got to fight the champs because the match that Zack Ryder got hurt in, they won number one contendership.
Okay. So that's what they were saying, that they held off on this match for so long because Zack Ryder was injured. Then you bring them back, and then they lose. And then they lose.
So they're probably going to split them up. I think Mojo, if the way that Andre the Giant Memorial winner goes, like with Baron Corbin, he should get a solo run, not a tag team run. So they'll probably break up. They probably will. All right. So next, you got Ascension. There's another team. They don't count. I don't know what's happening.
Did you
with
say
them.
Ascension don't count as a tag?
Because they're not doing anything with them. Like
they had
I
them
like
on
them.
The they had them on the Fashion Vice.
Right, right. So they're feuding with the Fashion Police. Fashion Police. That Breezango was a good tag team. American Alpha. I don't know where they are. And I think that's it. That's all the tag teams right now. But right now they're feuding with them. So yeah, we ain't got no other tag teams.
Right.
So yeah, I guess that's where it should be. New Day, do you think New Day gets the titles at the pay-per-view?
Yeah,
I think so. It's probably time. I wouldn't be mad at that.
I do. I'm the Usos. Their gimmick is not stale yet. Their beef with the Usos. I mean, with the New Day is.
It is, and like I've seen them go at it for so long. I know they want you to forget, but like on Raw,
right?
The old Usos were going back and forth with these dudes. Like so much, so it's like they got good chemistry though, because like their matches are great, but we don't need to see it. So I don't know. I wish they had another opponent for them because I actually like this new Usos.
But
like,
they're not. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But they're not heel the way I want them to be heel with the New Day. Like they're playing and joking with the New Day when y'all are the heels, and if y'all are doing like the street gimmick, y'all should be like jumping them
or
are doing
just
stuff
rapping
like that.
With them. You should be beating
yeah,
them up
you shouldn't be like. throwing disses at them and stuff like that. Yeah. You should be like jumping on backstage.
Okay, I agree. They're not hard enough right now. They're just kind of joking around.
But they were when they were fighting American Alpha though. Oh, yeah, when they first turned heel. So I'm saying like you see that they were like injuring teams.
Yeah. It was. But now they're not. Now they're just joking around. They're stooping to New Day's level, which probably means New Day's gonna
That's what I'm saying. So that we can get the Usos back the heels back. That they were doing against somebody else.
Okay. Real quick, Randy Orton is getting another title match against the modern day Maharaja, my boy.
In the Punjabi prison match.
I got to go back and look. The last time they did one of these is with Great Khali. Uh-huh. I wasn't watching wrestling when he was a thing.
Right.
So I'm going to go back and watch it. But
they said that any match with the Great Khali is not going to be a great match.
Probably not. Probably not. But I just wanted to see how that Punjabi prison works.
And they're also saying, so, okay. Is it too much racial shit? That the only time that they have this match is when it's somebody who's Indian. Quote unquote Indian.
Yeah, and it is. He said he's doing it in the honor of the Great Khali. So
right,
maybe Khali will pop up and like, you know, help him.
Is it in the honor of the Great Khali? Because they only had one other person besides the Great Khali in this kind of match. I think Great Khali was in it two or three times. So it's his match, like how Hell in a Cell was Undertaker's match. Like,
yeah.
It's a Great Khali's match. So I feel like that's why he's saying
about
in
to
the
be
honor.
Gender's match.
Yeah.
This could be his match. So if they just wanted to put it on gender just to bring this match back, I'm okay with it. Because like Hell in a Cell used to be Undertaker's match, like you said, but you know, he ain't around no more.
Right.
Alright, so
I'll wait to place judgment if it's good or not.
I wish he would wrestle somebody else. Like Randy don't deserve all these matches. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. This is like because he disrespected his family, like you get him another title match.
No, I guess it's because this will be the only match that doesn't have
interference from the Singh brothers.
Yeah, the Singh brothers.
Man, they'll climb in there or something. He's gonna throw them.
It's supposed to be two layers though. It's like a cage. It's like a cage outside the ring, and then it's like gives you some room.
So it's like a Hell in a Cell with a cage match.
Yeah,
like combined.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, did they have a roof?
No, there's no roof. You have to climb over both cages.
Oh, you got to climb over one, get down, and then climb up the other one. That's a lot of work.
Like a prison.
It's like a prison. All right, it's Matt Mania at Mega Rant T-Call. We'll see you in a second.
I was working on myself, had to get my mind right. Busy thinking about the past, now I have no hindsight. I done been without a dollar many days of my life. Now I'm about to hit the stage, ready for the limelight. Ready for the limelight. Ready for the limelight. Ready for the limelight, limelight. Ready for the limelight, limelight. Yo, these niggas all in a glass case of emotion. Damn, fam, you sitting in last place and I'm coasting. Saucing, I got the potion. Putting women in motion. Get them wet like the ocean. Oh, it sure call me Moses. Oh my God, if I die, I'm a legend. Yeah, I'm a prophet, a teacher, nigga. School is in session. See, I was stuck at the bottom, homie. That was depressing. But then I reached for the stars, homie. That was a blessing.
I was working on myself, had to get my mind right. Busy thinking about the past, now I have no hindsight. I done been without a dollar many days of my life. Now I'm about to hit the stage, ready for the limelight. Ready for the limelight. Ready for the limelight.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? It's Mega Ran. It's
T-Call.
And it's Matt Mania. We in the place. We talk hip-hop. We talk wrestling. We talk everything. So, we were just joined by an amazing MC and artist by the name of Sincerely Collins. And Mr. Collins, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing amazing, man.
That's what's up. Good to see you. I ain't seen you in a long time.
Right? Yeah, man. I've been out the city, man. I moved to Baltimore.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's what's up. I got some peoples out there.
Yeah. Baltimore's beautiful.
Baltimore's
so,
dope.
So you're just visiting right now?
Yeah. I'm going to be here for, visiting and working.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, obviously. And he was doing some work here at Digilabs, the home studio where we record out of.
Shout out to Digilabs.
Shout out.
So you over there laying something down. That's what's up.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's give the people a little bit of the beginning of Sincerely. So, how did you get started? Like, what was the moment you knew, like, I'm trying to do this? Like, when did that happen?
That was, I mean, there's a few different moments for that, but
yeah.
I would say when I was like 16, 17 years old,
okay.
Quit the basketball team, you know what I'm saying? The high school basketball team, and I was just like, this is all I'm going to do now.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? This is all I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to put my everything into this. I would say at that moment I knew that this was for sure going to be what I do for a living.
That's what's up, yeah, man.
One way or another.
That's what's up, dude. All right. So since then, I mean, you've released a lot of really critically acclaimed projects. Always seeing your name, and this is when I know that somebody's doing it the right way. When I'm out of town and when I'm moving around, and I see or I hear other folks' names that are in the city,
yeah,
and I'm like, yeah, because I was out in LA, my man Justin at Hip Hop DX,
yeah,
definitely sings your praises, a lot of cats. So for a person who hasn't heard you, like, what is your style, and maybe what are a couple of your major influences? I think that'll probably answer one answer the other.
Okay, so yeah, I would say first I would have to name some influences, and that'll kind of give me the segue into the second part of the answer. So Pharrell is my biggest influence, I would say, musically, just how eclectic he is with everything. Not necessarily like just thinking he's the best at everything, but just how eclectic he is and just the way he does what he does. Lupe, Mos Def,
okay.
Hov, MC Wise, Common, Kendrick, Cole, Nas.
Okay.
You
mentioned Hov. Are you excited for that new Jay-Z project that's coming out?
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for that.
Me too, man.
That was a nice surprise I got in my email. Shout out the title.
When it comes, you when you hear about, see, for me, I've been a Jay fan for the longest. So when I hear about new Jay, I'm like, I still get excited. You know what I mean? Like, it was whatever album.
I'm excited, but I always just like, I always wonder which Jay I'm gonna get, because there's always like the Hov that, like, you know, like, he just is going in because he has just like a purpose, mm-hmm. and then there's Hov who has like a completely different, like, corporate purpose, who the album is for a corporate purpose,
right?
You know what I'm saying? So those albums we kind of like are just like, ah, we know what you're doing right here, Hov. Like, you know what I mean? Like I feel like that's why Kingdom Come was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like that's why what was the last one?
The Magna Carta, Holy
Magna Carta.
Even that one, it just had a different, like, whole feel to it. So I feel like
I was feeling Magna Carta, though. It had some bangers on it.
It had some bangers, man. It had some bangers, but, like, it just didn't feel like that. I felt like he was trying to climb a level with some of the information he was dropping.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. He was trying to climb a level real quick.
I heard some ideas about this one. It's probably going to be like a visual project, how Beyonce's Lemonade since it's going to be on Tidal exclusively, and
like a video for each joint. Like, yeah, I can
see that happening.
Because they had like a little commercial already that they already had dropped that was like some black and white footage and stuff like that.
I want to make sure I get back to answering this, though.
This
is an intricate answer. So I named all them MCs. Then obviously, like, stylistically and producer-wise, Kanye, Dre, Timbo, Eminem is huge. Okay, I think that's probably good as far as my influences. Now, with that being said, to explain to someone like what my style would be based off of those influences, now I would have to say that my style is ever changing.
Yeah.
It's ever changing, so it's like really hard to answer, because I'm finding myself now to where, like, someone's like, what's your style? And I'm like, well, I want to tell you what my new shit's like, but
your new shit ain't out yet.
But my old shit, like, is like this, but the shit in between that is real different. Like, you know what I'm saying? So
right,
it's just
right,
like,
right.
And it's evolving even more, and it's gonna be, my new music's gonna be even more eclectic than it's ever been, because I feel like I've already gone pretty eclectic on, like, at least for the position that I'm in right now,
uh-huh.
like, as far as, like, taking chances without going towards, like, a bold, like, center, like, objective, like, being real eclectic. I feel like I've been very eclectic up until this point, but now it's, like, in overdrive.
Yeah.
You know, so when can we expect something new from you to come out?
I would definitely say this year.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll definitely say this here, but I'm taking my time more than ever just because of what I just
not
said.
Not a project or anything, just we're going to get like a we're going to get a video.
Oh, you'll get a, you'll get a single sooner than later. You'll get a single sooner than later that's just kind of a artistic representation of just where I'm at right now.
Gotcha.
And then after that, you're going to be bringing us like an EP? Are you doing like a full full length mixtape?
I'm going to do I don't know what to call it yet. I don't know what to call it, but it's like it's a lot of, I got a lot of songs that are that got a central theme to them.
Okay.
Like the and so I know it's like its own project. And when I say a lot of songs, like I mean like 22.
Oh wow.
You know what I'm saying? So I got so it's like I want to make sure that I make the best product. So until it's done, I'm not really calling it
anything.
Anything. Gotcha. You know what I'm saying? I just want to make sure that like because I might it might be six songs at the end of the day, like. You know what I mean? Or it might be like I make 20 more songs and then ends up being 25 songs. You know
and then
I mean?
He drops a double disc on you.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Some shit like that.
Got you. What do you think right now, speaking of double discs and figuring out how to release the music in this digital space in 2017? Nowadays, I notice it's about like your Spotify plays or releasing singles. A lot of people are like, no, albums are dead. CDs are dead. It's all about, you know, just digital singles. It's about just keeping a constant buzz going. Some people prefer to maybe the more traditional method of staying a little bit low key, dropping one big project and then, you know, flooding the visuals after that. Do you think it's a lot different now? Like trying to, I don't even want to say sell music, but just trying to get music to be heard today, even from when you started.
Do I think it's different or do I
yeah,
think
like
it's
how,
like
how different in what ways if it is?
I would say it's a little bit easier. It's a little bit easier from the time that I started, which is like around like 2005, 2006 up until now. It's a little bit easier. But from when my cousin started, who influenced me to start rapping, it's like a million times easier.
Yeah, and when was that?
Like a trillion, like late 90s.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Back then, you know? And we talk about that all the time, like in the 90s, you were either signed and going platinum or you didn't exist.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. Like, imagine all the dope cats
exactly.
who just never got on.
Exactly.
And they just didn't exist.
And it's like, how do you... What do you do if you just don't like make that connection like somewhere or just like, you know what I'm saying? Like what do you do? Now we got a place to start. You know what I'm saying? At least like a place to figure yourself out, a platform to figure yourself out and grow in front of people. And that can grow from the ground up. But like you said, back in the day, it was like, it's got to pop or it's just,
right, still. Yeah, back in the day, everything was also so expensive to even get started into. Like,
yeah.
If you didn't get that deal, then where were you recording at? Because your homeboy didn't have a home studio at that time or, you know, anything like that. It was like, oh, you're going to quad studios.
That's what really, really changed the game was that.
The ease of recording definitely totally changed. And the ease of uploading to finding listeners, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had to go to my local bootleg man on the corner and hope that he didn't get chased away by the cops that particular day to get the new Jay-Z, the new DJ Clue tape. You know what I mean? But now it's like, oh, I can go to a site, I can hear people talking about it, and boom, and get it. So, all right. So let's bring it into wrestling a little bit. What's your earliest wrestling memory, if you can recall?
My earliest wrestling memory is I was a huge Macho Man Randy Savage fan.
That's what's up. We both are.
That's my favorite dude.
Yeah, that was my guy when I was little. I just remember snapping to a Slim Jim. with Hulkamania. So like that's my earliest shit. Like I was really on that shit.
Okay.
Like I had the little Randy Savage and the little Hulk, you know what I'm saying? So I was really on that shit, but like didn't really like. I was so young that I didn't even, like I couldn't even really tell you much about the experiences.
Yeah.
But then there was like a phase. I would say like around like sixth grade up until high school, that I was just like, you know, when The Rock was huge and, you know, Triple H and
Yeah, that's what the Attitude Era of wrestling, that's what they call that.
The what era?
The Attitude Era.
Okay.
With Stone Cold and The Rock.
Yeah, Stone Cold, man. You come out with the beers promos, and shit. Yeah. Like, yeah, dog. So like I was really into it. I was every day, like me and my little cousin, like I was doing the moves on him while we was watching it. Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? So
okay.
So back in that day, like I was really into it. Now it's just like nostalgia. You know what I'm saying? Like for me.
Yeah.
I feel the same way too. I think a lot of the old stuff of the being so big and colorful is what got me in, and I mean it's just a product of that time period. It was dope. So nowadays, just from meeting wrestlers and things, I learned that the wrestling business is almost like the music business, mm-hmm. where like what we said, like in the 80s, you were either with WWE or F, or you didn't exist.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Nowadays though, there's a million indie federations. There's a million ways to get your stuff out. If you pop in on Twitter or you're funny in a certain...
There's people out there making money on the indies and being an indie wrestler.
Yeah. So it's like, do you feel like... So I guess running that back to you, do you feel like independent is still a place and a route that you'd like to continue? Or is this a person... Are you a person that feels like... the right label situation could and would put you in a position to do everything you want to do in music?
Well, I think that's what's dope. What's dope about now is there's situations like E1, mm-hmm. which are distribution labels that still allow you to own all the rights to your music while they push it, while they, you know, take a percentage of what they help with. It's kind of like eliminating the need for even actual labels. So, you know, that's kind of the route that I'm in right now. But even with that being said, like I used to kind of think that, like, okay, if I want to be my max potential, like you still got to have like some sort of backing. But now, like, man, I just realized it's just all about just knowing what you're capable of and knowing what your ceiling actually is, and whatever way that it's going to come, you have to take the opportunity as it comes based off of what you perform. Mm. So, I just think that, it's a tough one, because some people would still say that you need a label, but I just think that you will find a way to figure out how to get to your maximum platform if you know inside your heart that you're capable.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's good advice. I like that. That was going to be my last question. Is every day I get folks asking me, like, yo, I want to get started in this. What should I do? If you were to hear the question or of advice from an upcoming artist, what piece of advice would you give?
I would say, first and foremost, to find you before you start promoting you as you. Like, find out who it is you are deep inside, who it is that, who the essence of your character is, and start picking that apart and picking out what's great about that. And once you have the correct attributes to be able to know how to converse with people about what you bring to the table, you'll know your strong points. You'll know your weaknesses, and then make sure your music displays the same thing. Make sure your music displays honesty and integrity and exactly who you are. Because at the end of the day, no matter how many like marketing schemes or whatever you've seen work, like I haven't had a marketing scheme ever. It's just been literally the connection. Like it's been like something connected, and that's what got me to this opportunity. Oh, that connected with that person gets me to this opportunity. You right. know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not about like figuring out the crazy strategy. Just have a strategy that fits you, and know exactly what you are. So you plan that strategy out correctly, and the right opportunity will come for you. You know what I'm saying? Just make sure you stay true to that essence, and that you find the way to deliver that. Because like, if you look at people like Tyler the Creator, right? When he came out, people were like, yo, like this is some weird ass shit, but it connected.
Yeah.
It fucking connected with so many people. And that's because he found the true essence of him, and that's what he displayed. That's what he put out, was the true essence of him. And we're all just an expression of the same thing. You know what I'm saying? We're all just a ever-present expression of the same thing. So it's going to connect.
Yeah.
As long as it's true. You know what I'm saying?
That's real.
That's all I would have to say to someone.
That's really good advice, man. Teek, got a question? I could go all day.
I want some weird questions.
You
like,
weird
not even weird questions, just like something that just like I want to talk about some shit people don't normally talk about, or some shit that people like just want to know about me that just like.
All right. Well, I've heard you mention aliens a lot. So
okay.
Are aliens real?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Have we?
That's like one of them
humans contacted or made contact with aliens?
Oh yeah.
I believe that for sure.
1,000%.
Did you see about that new one they found? The one that's mummified?
Nah.
They were posting about that. Yeah, man, it's got like 3 fingers and 3 toes. And they're both and they're both the same length. Like their fingers are this long. And they're like, their fingers have more joints in it and stuff than ours do and things like that. And he's like on his hands and knees, like mummified. They found him in like somewhere, man. You can look it up on Facebook. I know you will. Go look that shit up, man.
Don't be giving us no fake news.
Nah, man,
I've been off social media for like a minute now.
Oh, well, just go Google it then.
Yeah, I'll Google that joint.
Is it like some fake website?
Yeah, there's some crazy
alien
stuff
shit is
on
real
Facebook.
Out here. I feel like I've seen
realnews.com.
It came from Teak News.
I believe aliens exist. I believe that if you have a doubt that aliens exist, you will resonate and you will find only things that make it apparent that they don't exist. But if you're open and you're looking and you're understanding information as you're receiving it, and you go down that rabbit hole, there's a lot of information. And this is aside from just like my own experiences of like, because you know at every point you got to get like confirmed through some sort of like spiritual awakening about every like at least something as deep as that. So for me, I have so many things that have happened that like those things I can't get into, but there's so many things that have happened that have just like confirmed to me that that's something that is for sure.
Right. And then like you were saying, you know, if people are closed minded, they're not going to be open to those ideas or
anything. Which is why I don't even like get too far into like what my experiences are, because I don't want anyone to hinder my experiences with their thoughts.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I definitely believe aliens is out here. So,
okay.
If you think that the world is, you know, that we're the smartest people out here, or if Earth is the only place capable of creating life as big as, you know, the galaxy is and everything, then I feel like that is being closed-minded.
It's the definition of closed-minded to think that we're the last and the smartest. And you know. So, okay. All right.
And I mean, like, aliens per se are supposed to be the higher evolution or the higher expression of us down here, just another dimension of us. It's just another reflection of us down here. You know what I'm saying? Just in a higher dimension.
Oh wow.
But someone would have to go look into dimensions to even know what I'm talking about. You know, and densities.
So, okay, explain densities.
So density is like, density is almost like another word for paradigm.
Okay.
So it's like your way of perceiving the human experience, right? So like most of us are in 3D, in the third density, four dimensions, third density. But the fourth density is a new understanding in the fifth dimension. And it's an understanding of it's a human evolution of all the information that we've been able to gather as a species up until this point, and bring it together and reach a point in your psyche, which shifts literally shifts reality the way you look at it. You know what I'm saying? So like the fourth and fifth density is a lighter, more enlightened way of living life. So like someone like Gandhi, you know what I'm saying? Like someone like Buddha, you know, Jesus. That's a higher density living being. Mm-hmm. You know, the way they're perceiving is through their third eye.
Definitely.
Rather than perceiving through something in their lower frequencies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
like it's just like looking at things on a different level. Like you said, with the third eye, just being able to visualize something that folks don't see unless they're really trying to see.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. I got asked this one, and it was a really good one. I did this interview the other day, and someone asked me, what art was in your home coming up? And I had to think back.
That's a tight question. I had to
think back, and I pulled out something really good. My mom had this dope Norman Rockwell photo or something, and it was about the time that showed a girl walking to school. It's like in the 1950s, one of the first black girls to be invited into a desegregated school. Mm-hmm. So, and I never really understood it until later I went back and looked at it. So what art, not necessarily photos, but it could have been music, any medium, like what art was around that you can remember? Something that either like drew your eyes to it, or you picked it up and touched it, or you listened to it, you played it, or you saw it.
Okay, so there's a lot of interesting things, and like, it's so funny because I realize now, looking back at it, how it actually fucking influenced me. Can I cuss on here?
Yeah,
sure.
How it actually influenced me. And so there was a lot of African statues, a lot of elephants, a lot of like just like naked people in loincloths, like yay high, like just sculptures and shit.
Okay.
Lots of elephant paintings, and even some like European culture shit, not the Mona Lisa. Maybe it is the Mona Lisa. Is there a Mona Lisa like statue too? Not just the painting.
Not that I know of.
Cause it like, I'm pretty sure it's. Have y'all seen that one statue that looks like the Mona Lisa, but like her arms are cut off?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
There was like we had a big ass one of those in the house.
Oh wow.
So like there was some like crazy European art in there too. So even thinking about it now, like I should probably ask more questions, like especially like while I have my grandparents around, like you know what I'm saying? Just like what influenced y'all to have this around?
Yeah, yeah. You'll get some really, really dope insight out of that.
And I just I'm going to Egypt soon. So I'm definitely gonna make my way over there.
Nice.
And I just got back from Europe this spring. Nice. And I'm starting to connect some stuff now. You know what I'm saying? Even now that we're just having this conversation, I'm starting to connect some influences.
Ah, that's dope.
Even some, yeah, yeah. I'm not even going to get too deep on it.
All right. So I think we got to probably wrap up. We've been at about an hour. You got one last question?
Yeah, I got a session too.
Oh, you got a session. See, everybody's working right now.
Working.
Everybody's working. So, we talked about
your social media.
Tell everybody how to
contact you.
Yeah, yeah.
If they're looking for you, where they can find your music at.
Sincerely Collins, Sincerely Collins, Sincerely Collins. Everything.
Everywhere.
Everywhere you go.
All right. Well, there it is. Thank you so much for joining us, man. I appreciate it.
Peace and love, man. Peace and love to y'all.
No doubt. Peace and love and blessings and all the success in the future.
Yeah, same to y'all,
so
man.
I'm really looking
same
forward to the next project. And
I'm glad y'all two are the first people that I saw when I came back home, man. That's what's up. It makes sense that like I would project this for
this
myself in my reality.
Cosmically, you know the way it was going to go down.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up, man.
Yeah, man.
All right, I appreciate it. We're going to run into another Sincerely Collins jam. What do you think we should run?
Let's do Others.
Yeah. Okay. I like that one. The video.
Let's do Others.
Too.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to Others, and we'll be back in a second to
wrap
up.
From your boy, Sincerely Collins.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Collins. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back, and we're going to wrap it up. It's Matt Mania.
We're the crazy kids, rebel kids. feels like this. Like maybe the real world isn't real like this. Like the road less traveled could be the ideal road. Like maybe we're all blinded by the light we hold. Don't give a fuck about my soul and if it might be so. Don't give a fuck about my art and if it might be cold. I don't believe in all them history books. I don't believe in all that this shit they told me. I don't believe the presidents of my homies. Them niggas don't know me. I swear I got it figured out. You niggas on that niggas how they take the niggas out. Uncle Tommy Hill figures making real figures, huh? Why the real niggas feel they gotta kill? Niggas what? I'm still that 5-year-old trying to see bigger things. What the world brings is designed to kill niggas dreams. Let your light beam. We can make it out the seams. We just gotta believe.
Yo, what's going on? It's Mega Rand.
It's T-Paul.
And it is Matt Mania. Thanks. Big shout out to Sincerely Collins for coming through. Last thing we got to talk about is Glow on Netflix, man.
Yeah, man. It's awesome.
I actually didn't finish it.
I have two episodes left.
5 or 6 in. I really like it. I liked all the little cameos from wrestlers. I thought that was dope. The acting's good. To me, I don't know. I was just expecting more wrestling, but it's finally coming to that now with, as it gets later into it.
Right. So, you know, it's the next season they'll have more wrestling, or they might do it, you know, like they did this one where the story builds up to the wrestling match that they're trying to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed it. I feel like it's I don't really watch too many shows like this, like a comedy drama.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Like a dramedy hour. Or no, these aren't even an hour. These are half hour episodes. But I mean, I guess it's like how my wife likes to watch Orange Is the New Black.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So I mean, like, I've been watching this and I'm like,
it's the same, you know, producer, what it is, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah, same producer.
That's dope. I mean, it's just it's enjoyable. The drama and the comedy is fun. When they get to the wrestling is good too. Like you said, the cameos and things that are happening. Mark Maron plays his character awesome. I was like, man, he plays an ancient person.
Yeah.
Very well.
He does. Like, he's my favorite character in it. Like, he kills that role.
Yeah,
so.
The way that he was talking to her, he was like, do people like your face? And I was like, I'm like, damn, man.
Like, sometimes I'm like, yeah, it's hot. And then I'm like, man, nah, is that hot? Nah. Yeah, he's like a perfect jerk. So, yeah, we highly recommend it. 2 thumbs up. Go and check it out. We'll talk about the rest of it next week. We want to once again thank our guest. Thank you for watching. And, well, watching if you're on Facebook, listening if you're on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. Right. And leave some reviews for us. Give us a 5-star. Try to give us 6. See what happens, you know, for Uncle Dave. And thank you once again. I'm Mega Rand. It's Teak Hall. You can catch us online. Catch us anywhere. We love to talk about wrestling. We also have a new Matt Mania Twitter, which is at Matt Mania Podcast. Go and add that up. Appreciate it. Yeah, we out, man. It's on.
Yeah. Peace. See y'all at Raw and SmackDown.
That's right. We'll see you at Raw and SmackDown. Thank you for listening. We out of here.
Hey, party people, it's Kate Murdoch here, and I want to talk to you about something real fresh, real new that myself and Mega Rand are doing now, and it involves you. The fans, myself and Mega Rand just launched a Patreon, a monthly way for you all to subscribe to us and what we do. For as little as $1 a month, you'll get free exclusive downloads, a guaranteed song a month, and if you pledge at the $10 level, you'll get a free project a month, whether it be something we do together, whether it's something solo, a side project that I engineer or produce, it's guaranteed exclusive for you Patreon supporters. So, if you really like what we do, then this is the time to get down and join us. We are trying to bring back that Nintendo Fun Club vibe because this is essentially a fan club for the real fans. So check it out, patreon.com/bitsandrhymes. That's patreon.com/bitsandrhymes.